2 Kings chapter 4, if you would, for the preaching of God's word. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So he went from him, she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, I pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the Bible. Where will we be without the Bible? We have it in our hands. But Lord, when we leave this building today, I pray that we truly have it in our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. If I were to go to all seven continents and meet and greet in each of those areas people that know the Lord, not just know about him, not have just heard of him, have not just studied up on him, but that know him. See, the only way to know the Lord by way of relationship is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I know him, and more of I'm glad he knows me. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You remember that in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Many there'll be that will stand before the Lord and say, 'Have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many great works in thy name?' He'll say, 'Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.'" You don't know God by what you do. You know God by what Jesus did. Somebody say amen. For those that know the Lord, who are saved by the grace of God. For those who've experienced his saving grace, and those who've been around him and read his word and are dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Those who've tested him and tried him and walked with him through the ups and downs, the mountaintops and the valleys. I would say I'd amassed from those people a lot of stories, a lot of illustrations, a lot of heartache, a lot of victories, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of struggles, a lot of trials, a lot of tragedies, a lot of triumphs. If I narrowed that crowd down just to those in the building today that know the Lord, aren't you glad you saved? Somebody say amen. That know the Lord, who've been washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed from the slave market of sin. God's not a figment of your imagination or merely the big daddy upstairs. He's your Father. Jesus is not a contender or a competitor with other religious leaders. He's your Savior. The Holy Ghost is not someone that you draw into your life when it's convenient and blame for all of your uncontrollable actions. No, he's the third person of the Trinity. He is God himself. He's the witness testifying in you that you belong to God, reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly our Savior. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're saved today? God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Holy Ghost is your Comforter. The Bible is not merely some autobiography that's sold on the shelves of the bookstores all around America and around the world that we read when it's convenient, that we put on our shelf, let it get dusty, and we carry when it's time to come to church and put down until the next service starts again. No, the Bible for us is our atlas. It's our flashlight. It's our lamp. It's our light. It's our roadmap. It's our rule book. It's our guide. It's our manual. We built our family. We've established our marriages. We raise our kids. We lead our churches. We make decisions. We stand in the midst of adversity, and we're sustained in the midst of trials because we believe the Bible. Aren't you glad you say? Heaven's your home. That's not a myth. That's a reality. You didn't become a citizen of heaven when you die and wake up in heaven. You became a citizen of heaven the day you accepted Christ as your Savior. Amen. How, aren't you glad that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. I mean, there are a lot of folks, if we could meet some celebrity, we'd be asking them for their autograph. But when Jesus saved me, he put my autograph in the Lamb's Book of Life, written in his blood. Listen to me, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to die one day and wake up in the glories of heaven. The city four square, John the Revelator said, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. Can you imagine that city paved with streets of gold? Listen to me, God thought enough of this city, and God thought enough of who he is. God is so rich that he uses gold for asphalt. And we're going to live there in a mansion made by the very hands of Jesus. I don't know if I asked you yet, but aren't you glad you're saved? If I were to go around this building and shake the hand of a saved person whom I've never met before, if you've been saved for any length of time, if I were to meet and shake the hands of someone who got saved just last month and then walk across the aisle and shake the hand of a seasoned saint who's been saved for 45, 50, 60 years, if I were to meet a young person in the building today who rode in on the van, whose parents don't come, and then go across the aisle and meet the young person who was born literally almost in the church, was coming to church 9 months before they were born with their mama. If I were to go to the seasoned saints class and then go downstairs to the toddlers class and talk to saved people, if I talk to the boy who got called to preach just a couple years ago, or I talk to my daddy who 39 years ago today surrendered to preach, I'm just saying there's one thing that all of y'all folk would agree on. And here it is. God provides. Let me say it again. God provides. And if you believe that, just pause and think about it. We don't have time to discuss all our stories. We don't have time to rehearse all of our situations. We don't have time to go back and detail them. How many of you would say there are many Sunday nights you didn't stand up, but it wasn't because you didn't have a testimony? Somebody say amen. How many of you say you don't put it all on Facebook? You don't blast it all to everybody. But if you really took the time to speak about all that God's done for you when you didn't know where it was going to come from, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Oh, I'd need some rocks. I'd need some tongues. I'd need some animals. I'd need some representatives. I'd need a pen. I'd need a video. I'd need everything I could find to express to you how many times when my back was against the wall, the calculator couldn't add it up. Nobody could figure it out, but not Gabriel, not Michael, not mama, not daddy, not the teacher, not my wife, not my kids, not my deacon, not my staff, not my preacher brethren, but God himself provided. And today we're going to look at just one of those instances that speaks for all of us. Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because I'm looking at people who need him to do it again. Whether it's physically, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's relationally. I'm looking at people today who need God to show up. Now, let me tell you something. God takes care of everybody, saved and unsaved, but he especially takes care of his children, and I is one. Amen. I love the song the boys sing. He loves me like I'm his only child, and though he has many children, I never have to stand in line. I never have to make an appointment. I never have to worry if he's got time for me. I never have to check if the bank's got to approve my proposal, or if the doctor has a remedy for my problem, or if the situation is something he's never seen before. I'm talking about God today, folks, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not the Pope. I'm talking about Jehovah. And if you don't know who he is, he's the one who put that sun, that yellow ball up there hanging on nothing but it never falls down. Tonight, he's the one who put the moon up there. He's the one who put the stars you can't see and the stars you can't see and the stars you can't count. I want to tell you, he put them up there and he calls them by name. He's the one who took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the Bible, he parted the Red Sea. In the Bible, he brought water from the rock. In the Bible, he sent manna from heaven. In the Bible, that God made blind men that could see. He took deaf men and gave them hearing, dumb men and gave them speaking, lame men gave them walking. He took withered hands and restored them. He took debtors and forgave them. He took lepers and cleansed them. He took dead men and brought them back to life. But I want to tell you, in 2017, he hadn't lost any power. He hadn't missed a step. He hadn't slowed down. He hadn't gone out of style. He hadn't been outdated. He hadn't become mundane. He hadn't lost his step. He didn't get voted out because he didn't get voted in. He ain't going to be impeached, and he ain't planning on resigning. He's on the throne. He will and he shall always be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all power is in his hands. And I'm saying to you, I don't know what you're facing, but I can say without apology, God provides. Now let me give you very quickly, I know what time it is. We're right on schedule around here. We want you visitors to know we're not showing off. It's kind of normal. But I got to take my wife to lunch today for her birthday. Some of you saying, yes, he's going to be in a hurry. Reservation's at 1:45. Why? Because when I called, I know me. But in all fairness today, it's not just I know me, I know thee. Because I didn't get up here till just a little bit ago. If you'll listen fast and passionately, I'll preach rather quickly today. I shouldn't have to do much convincing that God provides. Somebody say amen. The problem is we seem to forget he provides. The next time we forget about the last time. The last time we forget about the time before the last time. And when we find ourselves discouraged and doubting. By the way, the word doubt means to be in two minds. You understand me? To believe is to be of one mind. To disbelieve is to be of the other mind. And to doubt is to bounce from both. To be of one mind and the other mind, back and forth. Jesus had some doubters. Amen. But aren't you glad he had a way of solidifying their doubt by providing again? Wouldn't it be something if we were God and people doubted us? We said, since you doubt us, I ain't gonna come through. But aren't you glad God, even when we doubt, he provides, he provides, he provides. You pastor, you don't know how bad off I am. God doesn't provide. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way. You sitting in this building, you got clothes on your back, a roof over your head. You say, I wish I had more clothes. I wish I had a better roof. He don't owe you a roof or a clothes. Amen. It's by his grace and his mercy. And if you got what you deserved, you'd be burning in the pit of hell, and so would I. But somebody that sits high and looks low, sees where government can't see, approves what banks can't approve, does what doctors can't do, cares about people nobody cares about, from the littlest to the biggest, from the smallest to the largest, from the poorest to the richest, from the blackest to the whitest, God provides. Now I want you to look at this scenario today rather quickly. It begins with a desperate individual. Now you got to have to understand, if God provides, you're going to find yourself at times desperate. Here's a woman with an emotional position. Her husband had died. With an endeared past, he was a godly man. He was one of the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets represented a group of prophets that got together. They were trained by Elijah, trained by Elisha. They weren't prophets because their daddy was a prophet. That was just a title. These were men of God that represented God to the people. That's what her husband was. She was in an emotional position because she had lost him. She had an endeared past. She remembered the kind of man he used to be. She had an economical plight. She was broke, and the creditors were coming to show her an extreme predicament. They want to take her boys. She was desperate. You ever been desperate before? Some of you here today are going through a desperate trial. You're in an emotional position. If you paused and thought about it right now, you'd start crying, but you choose not to. You're trying to hang in there. You're going through difficult situations. I read the text every day. I talk to the church members. I know what they're going through. Let me tell you something. If you think that just being God's child means you never have emotional plights, you must not know what being God's child is. Jesus himself wept, but I'm here to tell you that even in the lives of desperate individuals, somebody say it with me, God provides. Say it again, God provides. There was a desperate individual. Notice the direct inquiry made of this individual. She went to Elisha and said, "This is my situation." I want you to notice the direct inquiry of Elisha. He said, "What shall I do for thee?" Almost as if to say, "I'm a prophet, I'm broke. I sympathize and empathize with your predicament." But it's almost as if he's saying, "Ma'am, I want you to admit your desire. Who are you really pleading upon? Are you talking to me or are you talking to God?" By the way, nothing wrong with calling the preacher. Obviously it's not. There's nothing wrong with calling the preacher. Some of you have been calling me while I was up here. Listen, not literally, but texting me. There's nothing wrong with calling the preacher. But you make sure that when you talk to the man of God, that you're talking to the man of God so he will point you to Almighty God. Now listen to me. What do you really want? Admit to me your desire. Along with that direct inquiry of that admitted desire was what I call an availability discussion. You want God to do something? Tell me what you got. What you have in your house? See, God said, before you ask me for something else, you better give me what you already have. Today you say, "Pastor, I'm in a desperate situation." God's first question to you is, what do you have in your hand? Moses, I'm going to use you what you have, a rod. David, I'm going to use you what you have, a slingshot. Little boy, what you have, just a little lunch. I mean, what do you have today? I've not got much, but listen to me. If you want God to give you more, you better start off with giving him what you already have. I'm saying to you today, God, I need you. God, I want you. God, you got to show up. God say, give me what you got. There was a desperate individual met with a direct inquiry. But in order for God to provide, she had to hear some detailed instructions. Go borrow the vessels. You say, why she had to borrow vessels? She didn't have none, except for one pot with oil in it. She probably had sold everything she had. The creditors were coming to knock. "You can't pay us, we'll take your boys." "What you got?" "One pot of oil." "Okay." Aren't you glad God can always use what you have? Don't be somebody else. Be who you are. You ain't going to be great because you changed from who you are. You'll be great because you give little you to big old him. Somebody say amen. What do you have? Who are you? So many people are trying to get rich before God can use them. They're trying to get recovered before God can use them. They're trying to get educated before God can use them. They're trying to get good at what they do. Listen to me, young man. God ain't going to start using you after you get out of Bible college. He's going to use you while you're wet behind the ears, while you're still green, while you can't put a sermon together. But what little thoughts you have and little training you have, you'll give God what you have. Detailed instructions. Number one, personal aggression. Go out and borrow. And not a few. You say, "Pastor, I'm glad you said God provides." Shoo, that's good news for me. I'll just lay back and wait for him to do it. Wrong. God provides means God does what you can't do. But God provides meaning God does what you can't do doesn't mean God exonerates you from doing what you can do. Now, you can't make oil multiply, Mrs., but you can borrow pots. Somebody say amen. I said you can borrow pots. You can't make that oil fill them up, but you can borrow pots. Pastor, I'm in a predicament. I can't make money come from nowhere. No, but you can tithe. Amen. I can't make anybody get saved. No, but you can pass out tracts. I can't save my lost loved one. No, but you can share the gospel. I can't heal my body. No, you can go to the doctor. You can take a prescription and you can pray. Listen to me. Stop waiting for God to do what you can do. And I ask you today, you want God to provide. How much aggression have you demonstrated in the area of what you can do? I hear people say all the time, oh, preacher, pray for me. Tell the people at the church, pray for me. We're burdened. We got a need. I saw somebody yesterday who was selling fish dinners up the street. I have a knack for spotting fish dinners. They set the sign right in the front of the church. They think the pastor gonna miss that. Fish dinners to support a boy that's going to college. I think it's a good idea. We might do it ourselves, honey. I can fry fish. I throw some chicken in there. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Listen, macaroni and cheese. I mean, we got to eat, right? I spent my $10. Ain't nothing better than spending the money you were going to spend anyway and helping a young man go to college. Praise the Lord. I'm going to sell fish dinners to send me to a Cowboys game in Dallas. Amen. Amen. How far are you from Dallas, Brother Brian?
About 3 hours.
Oh, you could drive over there.
Let's go.
Amen. All right. I'll be selling fish dinner this coming. I got two. It's two of them. We need 2 tickets.
Right.
Hotel room and everything. We ain't standing up with a big TV. We sitting down in front. All right. So I got. We need a lot of fish. So anyway, I'm trying to preach quick. So I went on up there, and I did. End up talking. My family says I talk to everybody, but I want to treat people the way I'm treated. And so I'm talking to somebody else. A daycare parent was there, met a guy, and we start talking about the Lord, and I met somebody else, and we start talking about the Lord. She had a beer in her hand, and I was talking about the Lord. She wanted. I know she wanted to drop. I can't tell you, I've seen some people drop some fresh cigarettes because I was walking up. I mean, just chilling, boy. Hey, man, how you doing? And I'd be saying to myself, well, I know they like, oh, Lord, why he had to walk up now? At least he could have when I had spoke for about 20 minutes. Anyway, let me hasten to the point. She finished the conversation after I told her I was a pastor. She had a new business. She wanted to tell me about it. I'm saying, I'm a pastor. She said, pray for me. Just pray for me. I believe she was sincere. Pray for me. We got names on the prayer list on Wednesday night of people who've called in, emailed in, sent a message by somebody else. Pray for me. But I often wonder, have they ever thought about coming here and praying for themselves? Some of you good at passing on prayer requests, but it wouldn't hurt to not just be a prayer request passer owner, but a prayer. I need God to show up. God needs you to show up. Now, he never needs you, but he wants it out of you. Go borrow. You can't multiply oil, but you can knock on somebody's door. You got an extra pot. Excuse me, you got an extra, I'm not going to keep it, I'm going to bring it back. You got an extra pot, I'm not going to keep it. She sent her boys out. You got a pot I could use? You got a pot I could use? You got a pot I could use? What's wrong? Listen, she's doing what the man of God told her to do. She can't multiply oil, but she can borrow a pot. I hear people say all the time, pray for me, pastor. I want my work schedule to get right so I can start coming back to church again. Well, when do you work? On Wednesday night. I said, well, what's your excuse for Sunday? You're talking too much. You're telling on yourself. Why should God move your Wednesday schedule when you won't show up when you're not working on your Sunday schedule? Somebody help me preach. I want a raise on my job. You're not tithing off of what you make now. I don't understand why you keep bringing up tithing, because I want you to quit losing. It's not for the church that I'm bringing up tithing. What do you mean? I mean, God takes care of Crossroads Baptist Church. Tithing is a way that you not only can help take care of the church, it's a way you can make sure God takes care of you. Amen. I'm trying to hasten. I'm just simply waiting on God. He's waiting on you. He raised Lazarus back to life. Could Mary raise Lazarus? Could Martha raise Lazarus? Could all them crying people raise Lazarus? Could the disciples with Jesus raise Lazarus? No, there was only one person at that tomb that could raise Lazarus. His name was Jesus, but he told them, move the stone. Y'all can't raise him, but you can get that stuff out the way and watch me do what I do. Could Jesus have moved the stone? Yes, but he was teaching them, don't expect me to hit the stage until you've done everything on the stage you're supposed. Somebody help me preach. You're going to have some personal aggression, and then you're going to have some private attention. Once you get those borrowed vessels from all of your neighbors, bring them into the house and shut the door upon you. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with going to ask other people for what you need help with, but when God shows up in your life, shut the door. Sometimes he wants a personal time with you by himself. Some people only experience God in the auditorium, in church. That's not the height of who God is. The best part you'll ever experience about God is when you take what he's done for you in the house and shut the door. I thought I was tired this morning, but God provided private attention, personal aggression, persuaded activity. Now listen to this. Stop reading over the Bible so quickly that you don't think about what you're reading. And shall pour out into all those vessels. Huh? How much do you have? One pot of oil. The man of God said, borrow a bunch and they'll pour oil into all of them. What oil? What oil? If God would just tell me what to do, I'd do it. No, you wouldn't. Because you'd be too busy going, God, I can't borrow a lot of vessels because I only got one pot. That's your problem. You're a little analytical. I've been in business a long time. You're going to have to swallow that when you deal with God. He's not interested in your MBA or your BAM. Listen, I'm telling you now, he's interested in you obeying him because he said so. It's not his job to explain to you where the oil's from. It's your job to go get the pots, knowing that if he told you to get them pots, he must gonna be the one to provide the oil. Persuaded activity. In other words, God will provide when you believe his word. I'm telling you, if she didn't believe God could multiply oil, she wouldn't send them boys out. I'm going to church this morning. I don't feel like it. No, I don't feel like it, but I believe that if I go, God's going to show up. I'm getting on my knees. I got on my knees yesterday, and nothing's changed since I got on my knees yesterday. But I'm going to get down today because I believe, I believe, I believe. Listen to me. When the oil comes out, I want to have some pots. It can go. Would you hear me now? God shows up in church like he shows up no other place. You know why I want to be here? Because I don't want God to pour out the oil in the house of God, and I don't have a pot for it to land in. Persuaded activity, and then preserved abundance. I'm rounding the corner. Fill them up and set aside that which is full. Fill it up, but fill it up and set it aside. What do you mean? Don't use it for anything else. You know what I'm finding out, Brother Hayes? A lot of people want the blessings of God, but once they get them, they use them for other stuff. You ain't have but one pot of oil. God told you borrow a bunch, and by the way, you think you're doing something. Christian people, oh yeah, look how many pots I got. They're not yours. Did you hear me sing? God gave you that. Boy, I've been teaching and preaching. Did you like my message? You didn't come up with that idea. God came up with that idea. She can be bragging. Look how many vessels I borrowed. Woman, you were broke. You asked the preacher. The preacher gave you a word from God. And by the way, borrowing vessels is nothing to toot your horn about. God's the one got to provide the oil. Preserved abundance. Set it aside. By the way, it's good that when God blesses that you set it aside. Not just set it aside, meaning physically, but set it apart in your mind so you don't forget who did it. Sometimes we get past the blessings and we forget because we didn't preserve the abundance when God blessed. What mean ye by these stones? When you cross the Jordan River, set up stones so that generations after you're gone, your children can still remember what God did. That's why you testify. That's why you write things down. That's why you mark the spot where God delivered. That's why you start off your testimony saying, I thank God for my salvation. Not because that's what everybody does, because it serves as a reminder of what the blessings of God have caused you to set aside. Divine intervention. God showed up. Divine intervention. Notice what the Bible said. She went from him and shut the door. Proper obedience. Man of God, I need help. Go do this. That's not what I wanted you to tell me. I'm not trying to speak for Elisha. I'm speaking for myself now. Pastor, we need counseling. For what? You ain't gonna listen. Now, I'm not talking to everybody. But some people want to hear what's right, but they want to do what's right. Help me. I'm struggling in my marriage. Get rid of your social media. Well, I can't really get with, then you don't want your marriage to work. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I'm saying for some folk that I've talked to, it is for them. I don't have any peace. You have a prayer life? Well, I'm really too busy. Stop asking for counsel you don't want to listen to. Doc, I'm sick. Help me. Here's a prescription. I ain't really trying to fill it. Go on then. But just remember, you came here because you couldn't work it out yourself. And now that I've given you what you couldn't do, you don't want to take it. Why'd you ever come? Remember he first asked her, what do you really want, ma'am? I think he was sizing her up. Because what I'm getting ready to tell you is not the customary answer for when the creditors are calling. He didn't say, go get a second job. He didn't say, go take out a loan. He said, borrow pots. And if she wasn't godly, she would have said, that is not what I'm expecting to hear with the creditors. What I'm going to say, hi, sirs, you want some pots? Let me tell you something. But that's where faith comes in. You can't serve God carnal. And you can't experience his provisions if you're not going to obey his commands. Proper obedience. Boys, go borrow. She sent them. Get in the house. Shut the door. She shut it. Proper obedience made way for a providential outcome. She takes that one pot of oil. The boys are handing her a pot. Hand her a pot. She pours. Next pot. She pours. Next pot. She pours. Next. I need some amens right now. Next pot. She pours. Why are you amening? She only had one pot. But from that one pot of oil, she's filling up a bunch of pots. God was doing a miracle. Why? The outcome was prepared by her obedience. Stop asking God to do when you haven't done what you're supposed to do. Right. Perpetual ongoing. What do you mean? As long as she poured, the oil was there. I mean, is this not a miracle? She dumped it out, but it ain't dumped out. And then the Bible didn't say I like this perpetual. The Bible didn't say the oil kept flowing. It said the oil stayed. What's the significance? It didn't need to keep flowing if she stopped pouring. It was there for when she poured. And when she stopped pouring, when she had filled up her last pot, the oil stayed. It was God saying, I'll give you your daily bread. Don't worry about what you have tomorrow. Pour today. And when you come back to that same pot that you poured from today, tomorrow, it will be there because God knows how to stay the oil. There's a particular observation I make here, and that's this. If they had borrowed fewer vessels, they would have got less oil. Sometimes you're setting yourself up for limited blessings. Amen. You reap what you sow. And some people say, boy, God sure came through. He did. Could have come through more if you had. Boy, God blessed me. God has blessed me. There are other areas he could bless if you'd put the pot underneath where the oil is being poured. I'm trying to close, but just say amen. Lastly, there was a delightful inevitability. Desperate individual, direct inquiry, detailed instructions, divine intervention, and delight inevitability. Delightful inevitability. What do you mean? I mean, when you do what God says, there is an inevitability that you can expect regardless of who you are. God is going to take care of you. Number one, there's an amazing supply. She went and told the man. What'd she tell him? She told him, hey, what you said happened. Boy, that's what a preacher likes to hear. Pastor, I asked you. You told me. I did it. And it worked. Yeah, I know it worked because I got the message from God. The abundant supply. But I want you to notice the appropriate service. Thank you, ma'am. That's great. Glad to hear all of those pots got full of oil. Ooh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ma'am, excuse me. I appreciate your hallelujah. But put your hand down just for a second. We'll have another worship service in a little bit. But go pay your bill. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God been so good to me. And pay the people you owe. Didn't I tell you when you don't say amen, you give yourself away? Some of y'all about to sing, I give myself away so you can know me. We're not just talking about financially. Shame on you if you ask God for a car, he gave you a car and you won't drive it to church. Amen. You asked him for a voice and you won't sing in the choir. You asked him to help you be a teacher, you won't teach children the principles of the word of God. Shame, you asked him to get you out of jail, you won't get out and come to the house of God. You asking him to heal you, you won't get up off the bed and walk towards the place where the prayers were going up when you were too carnal to ask for yourself. Amen. Pastor, you picking on me? No, I'm just simply saying, don't let your shout preclude your service. Amen. There's a whole lot of people want to come to church, wave their hand, but they don't want to do nothing. Amen. And I can just see him, hallelujah, hallelujah, raise your hand, raise your hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, wave it, wave it, wave it, wave it, just come on, shake it like that, shake it. And I can see her just, hallelujah, hallelujah, excuse. Appreciate that. But we appreciate all them things you're doing with your hand. But put one of those in your hand and put it in the offering plate. Because you don't just come to wave it. You need to give. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying to get all up in your business. And I'm trying to tell you that some of you shouters also need to be givers and ministers. And if you can wave your hand to the song, you can put a door hanger in it at a blitz and tell somebody they need to come to church. So a family the next day will show up and come because some teenagers went and told, ooh, pastor, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to preach on God provides, right? He does, but you don't get to do nothing. A lot of folk like that. Oh, yeah, and I bet she was. Everybody got a shout after the oil shows up. But you can't forget your bills. You still got to owe the people you owe. Pastor, I thought you were closing. You stopped saying amen. Is there anybody here who's found him faithful? Amen. Say amen. Amen. Don't you think you ought to pay what you owe? Especially if you got oil. I mean, some people can't do it. I'm a little frustrated when people tell you they broke with Jordans on their feet. And people that owe you, you see them at a restaurant. On the internet talking about the blessings of God. Bless me. Baby, here's what I'm saying. I'm trying to close. 145, honey, 145. It's only 20 minutes away. I got an easy pass. Thank you, Lavette and LaMille. They bought me an easy pass. What they should have done was linked it to their credit card. They know how much I drive. They gave me an easy pass. Said, we've done our part. Now let God provide. See how it works together? Amen. Pastor, we'll go to the store and get the thing for you. You link it to your own card. I respect that. Be careful when the oil's sitting in the house and you forget to serve with that oil.
That's right.
God's been good to us.
Amen.
I have a hard time. Did I say I was closing? Let's listen. I haven't been that long. I really haven't. I have a hard time understanding how people can do this so many times and never do this.
Amen.
And boy, I tell you what, whoever is manufacturing them kind of people has got a big plant, because they're everywhere. They are good at tucking it in the pocket and very, very foreign to pulling it out. We got folks in here that are generous. I mean, they can't help it. But they give to everything. They give to people and don't want anybody to know about it. I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about take people out to lunch. They care for kids, that bus route, they fix meals. I mean, they just, if giving just kind of breezes through here, they catch it. Now, we have some folk in here wouldn't give if Jesus took the offering. Not just in here. You work with them. You go to school with them. They always want their hand out. Listen, she couldn't have got a bunch of oil unless she gave God the little oil.
Amen.
I'm going back up here. I'm not coming back down. Amazing supply, appropriate service, absolute sufficiency. It stayed. And then ample sustenance. Live thou and thy children of the rest. Go sell the oil. Got to sell it. By the way, it was good oil. God, the oil she probably had wasn't that good. But once God multiplied it, it was good oil. How you know it was good? Because people bought it. Come on, deduct with me, deduct. And people that bought it had money, so she probably sold it to rich people. When God bless you, he bless you with good stuff that even rich people will like. Why do you want rich people to like it? Because you need their money, okay? But ample sustenance. God gave her enough, not only to sell to pay her bills, but he told her to live off the rest. And as best as I read scripture, he didn't tell her to live off the oil that was going to be multiplied. He told her to live off the oil that she still had left over from the pot she filled. Don't you see why it was important for her to make sure they borrowed a lot? By the way, he never told her to be rich. We never find anywhere in this scripture where this woman went from a average person to a rich one. I think she still stayed average. God says, stay within your means. I don't provide you to make you some great person. I provide you to learn to trust me as who you are. All right. I don't know what you're facing, what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. But if you've been around God for any length of time, has he not come through? So we're not going to come to the altar today to help God be more sufficient. He was doing that before you got here, before I got here. We're going to come today to trust him enough. It was a risk. It was a risk for her to go borrow that. And by the way, I guarantee you some of her neighbors say, girl, what's wrong with you? Just go to the next door. God said, borrow not a few. She'd have looked real crazy if she did all of that and came back and there was no oil. She had to trust God, and he came through. And she got to live off of it for the rest of her life. I don't know about you, but there's stuff God did for our family 25 years ago. We still living off of it. I mean, he's a good God. And you're not going to pay attention to what he did unless you make sure when he does it, you got the door closed and you're paying attention. May God help us. to be reminded through the preaching of the Word of God, unequivocally, undoubtedly, without fail, God provides. Our Father, forgive us for doubting you, for questioning you. Sometimes we're so afraid at what little we have that we disallow you to bless us because we won't let go of it. Now, there's some burdened folk in the building today, financially, physically, emotionally. But God, sometimes the holdup is us. God, get me married. God's saying, give me your single life. Give me a job. Honor me with the one you got. Give me a pulpit. Preach when you don't have one. Give me a ministry. Take some classes. Do what you can. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I'm going to heaven. I know it. If you raise your hand, would you raise your hand if you know that? Don't be embarrassed if you don't. I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt about it. I'm sure about it. Would you raise your hand? I'm going to put your hand down. Pastor, God spoke to me in the message about the provisions of God, convicted me about some area of my life. Would you raise your hand? Come on, all over, all over. Now, I hope you'll respond. You say, go all the way to the altar. Listen, just come to the altar and talk to him about it. Many are already here. In a moment, you don't have to wait. You can get up from where you are. You can turn around, kneel in your seat. But, I mean, we got to do our part. One more question, as important as any question I've ever asked. How many of you in the building today said, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Listen to the question. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I know I do not want to go to hell. I'm not going to call your name out or embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I am sure I don't want to go to hell. Thank you for that hand. God bless you. God bless you. So I'm going to be honest. Come on, be honest. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today. Thank you. God bless you, young man. God bless you, sir. God hears you. He sees my soul. He's not asking you to save yourself. He's just asking you, what do you have? Here's the answer. Me. The ability to trust you. That's enough. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody else like that? Let's stand together. God provides. God, during this invitation time, would you show up and do a great work? We love you. Thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen.